Well, I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're in this series entitled Gifted, and so we've been talking about some of the same things each week and kind of building on it. And the fact is that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a spiritual gift. And we've been working off of this this definition that it is a special ability given by God to every believer to serve others. A special ability given by God to every believer to serve others. You didn't get left out. That's good news, so don't think you got left out. And so we've been talking about, hey, you've been given a spiritual gift, but the question is are you gifted? Are you gifted? Because gifted means revealing a gift. And so it's not enough just to walk around and go, you know what? God's given me a special ability to serve others for his glory. They can connect the dots back to him. That's not enough to walk around and say that. The question is do I live a life that is gifted? Do I reveal that gift on a regular basis in serving other people to the glory of God? And so we've been talking about that, and we've been kind of laying some foundation. Well, today, what we're going to talk about is how you do that. With what mindset, what mentality do you use that special ability to serve others for the glory of God? And so in Romans chapter 12, and you're going to see as we read in just a moment, he's going to list out some of the spiritual gifts. And if you need a list of them, there's a list at each exit you can grab when you leave. But in Romans chapter 12, he begins to lay out the foundation of how we ought to go about our day-to-day business in serving other people. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. In other words, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been saved to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In other words, hey, being here is great, worshiping is great, but every day you ought to get up and go, hey, I'm committing my entire life to Jesus Christ. And then he says this. This is the mentality. He starts it. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. And I want to just break down these phrases a little bit. The word conform means to be squeezed into a mold. And he uses a negative imperative here, and it's kind of the thought process, they've already allowed it to happen. And one of the things you have to do as a follower of Jesus Christ, you go, hey, have I been molded into something other than what Jesus wants me to be molded into? Am I thinking differently than he thinks? Do I have a different thought process than he has? Do I look at things differently than my Savior looks at? Well, he's writing to believers. He says, do not conform. And it's the idea, they've already let it happen. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't let it squeeze you into thinking the way it thinks. And then he says this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, change the way you think. The word transformed is the word we get metamorphosis from. You've seen the process. You remember science class in school? The caterpillar turns into the butterfly. You know that process. He kind of goes into the cocoon. When he's in that cocoon process, that's what they call the metamorphosis. And so there's some things going on in there that allows that caterpillar to come out as a butterfly. What Scripture is telling us as a follower of Jesus Christ, and this is an ongoing process, it's not a one-time event. This is in the present tense, and so it means it happens on a regular basis. He said there ought to be some things going on in you on the inside right now. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, the mind is where you think, your thoughts, your attitudes. In other words, there ought to be something going on in you because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. There ought to be a renewing, a remodeling going on, and you begin to think more like Jesus. You begin to have an attitude more like Jesus. You begin to approach things like Jesus day by day. As a follower, you ought to be able to go, you know what? I accepted Christ then, but I'm far different than I was even then. I mean, if you look just like you did the day you accepted Christ, then what kind of metamorphosis is going on in you? And so he simply says you ought to be renewed by the remodeling of your mind. And I love the word renewing. It's the word we get renovation from. Anybody ever renovated like a bathroom or anything? You sinned while you did it. And he's like, why did we do this? The toilet flushed, and why are we remodeling? But you know, it's an ongoing process, and you think, will it ever end? Well, hopefully there's been an end to your remodeling process. Well, in this process, there is no end. He says this renewing of the way you think, and so every day you're getting up going, hey, I need to think about this situation the way God wants me to think. I need to have the attitude today that God wants me to have toward this. And so this is renewing of your mind. And so then he goes on, he says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What is God's will today for your life? That you glorify him. What is God's will for your life? For you to use your spiritual gift that he's given you to serve others for his glory. We can run around going, we can buy all the books we want. The mystery of God's will. I don't know where he wants you to work. And I don't know what house he wants you to live in or who he wants you to marry. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ today, I can assure you he wants you to glorify him and use the spiritual gift that he's given you to serve other people in a way that they connect the dots back to him. Now, as we as followers of Jesus Christ are running around trying to figure out what God wants us to do, the problem is not that God is having a problem conveying that, but our thinking's messed up. We're still in the cocoon phase. And some stuff needs to be going on in here. And so it's interesting, as you read this, he lays the foundation about what he's about to talk with this. When I worked with Hoover football and baseball as their chaplain for 7 years, one of the things I used to tell the guys all the time is this. Is that you need to decide who you are going to be before you decide what you're going to do. Because I would look at this group and I would say this, your talent can take you places your character can't support. You ever see people on TV and go, what in the world were they thinking? They had all these opportunities, all these resources, and they just kind of did something off the wall. You know what happened? Their talent took them places that their character couldn't support. God wants to give you opportunities. He wants to put you in positions. He wants to put you in ministry events. But if you're not doing this, your character will not be ready to support it. You'll be gifted for it. You'll have the Holy Spirit's power available to you. But you will not have been prepared and gone through the metamorphosis that you need to go to that you can handle that situation the way God wants you to handle it. And so with that in mind, look, continue reading. You're thinking, if we take this long on all these verses, we're going to be here till tomorrow. No, I promise, we're about to speed up. Makes you feel better. All right, so verse 3. Here, now we're going to read through them. Here we go. For by the grace given me, do you all remember what he just said? Okay. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Now he's talking about spiritual gifts here. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Seems like it ought to work good. I mean, it sounds like a plan to me. And then he goes on to this. He said, this is great. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. In other words, hey, whatever he gifted you to do, you need to get busy doing it. Remember, we ended there last week. Don't lay up. Go for it. I am. Here we go. Thank you. You keep on encouraging me. It's going to get good, I can tell you. I'll come off the stage. Yeah, that's right. All right, so he's talking about gifts. And then he says, verse 9, he says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You see what he just did? He went in there, he threw some spiritual gifts in there. He goes, but let me remind you, the how, the mindset is the key. So, you've been given a spiritual gift. I hope you're in the process of trying to figure out what that looks like. But be careful that you don't do something you're not ready to do with your character. So what does it look like? Well, it's interesting to me that he frames these spiritual gifts with these attitudes. The first one, look at verse 3, back up. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." And so he simply says, you've been given this gift. He says, the first mindset you've got to approach the opportunities that God gives you with is humility. He says, be humble. He says to be humble. He says, think right about yourself. Isn't it interesting? In the first two verses, he says, you need to go through a metamorphosis, and you need to change the way you think. You need to change your mindset. You would think he would talk about the world. He'd talk about lost people. He'd talk about missions. And he says, I need you to think right about you. I need you to think right about you. Your attitude towards you is holding things back. And he simply says, do not think, it'd be better if he says like, no, pump yourself up. No, he says, no, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. In other words, it literally means in the Greek, don't overthink yourself. Don't think above. Don't proudly think when it comes to you. So everybody in here is going to think about themselves. I mean, that's a given. If you're not thinking about yourself, something's wrong or you're lying. It's just how you think about yourself. Now listen, don't be one of those people that tries to be all fake super spiritual and holy, going, woe is me and lo is me. He's not thinking, think of yourself as less, just think of yourself less. There's a big difference. And he simply tells you, when you get up, have a sober judgment. In other words, keep your mind safe to not to think this thing's about you. That's really the key. He's the sober judgment, he simply says, has to do with the faith that's been, you know, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been saved by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We learned last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that these things called spiritual gifts are grace gifts. In other words, they're given to you as a grace from God. You don't deserve them. He decided to bless you with this. And so you've been given a grace gift. You've been given salvation by grace. So the sober judgment is I get up and go, you know, in light of I'm just a grace-filled person. I've been saved by grace. I've been gifted by grace. I need to think of myself in that light. I've been created by God. I've been saved by God. I've been called by God. I've been gifted by God. I've been empowered by God. Where am I in all this? Just be obedient. We talk a lot about here. If you're new here, let me tell you something. We talk about everybody gets up in the morning and either puts on a bib or an apron. Everybody in this room got up today and mentally put on a bib or an apron. If you put on a bib, you go, hey man, I want you to do something for me. I came. Feed me, feed me, feed me. Pamper me, pamper me, pamper me. Jesus says you get up, you put on an apron. I gave you a spiritual gift, a special ability to serve others for not your glory, but my glory. So everybody, and this is really easy. I know we make church way too simple here, and it's painful. Clarity is irritating, and we're going to irritate the dog out of you. You woke up this morning with a bib or an apron on. You'll wake up tomorrow with a bib or an apron on. But he says, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Use sober judgment. Think rightly. Put on the apron. And so he says the first thing that you use this spiritual gift with as the foundation is to be humble. Be a person that's marked by humility. Another one, he says this, and you skip down to verse 9, and he's just throwing in these character traits around these spiritual gifts. He says in verse 9, and he says, love must be sincere. We want to say, well, you need to be loving. I'm not even going to go there. I would focus on you need to be sincere. If you're sincere, you'll be loving. The word sincere means not to play a part or to fake it. It literally means in the Greek, that when you get it into the Latin, it's sincerus. It means without wax. It means no cracks. In those days, they had pots. And they would crack during the heating process, and they would fill those pots in with wax so they wouldn't leak. And the only way you knew whether or not it had wax in it was to hold it up to the light of the sun, and the sun would shine through those cracks. But guess what? If they held it up to the light of the sun, and it was solid, they'd flip it over and stamp it Sincerus, no wax. What he's saying is, as you use this spiritual gift, don't be a fake. We talk about my family, you know, some of you got kids, and some of you think you're fooling your kids. And my thing that I always say in parenting classes, your dog knows when something's wrong. If you think your 8-year-old hadn't figured it out, or your 4-year-old, or your 14-year-old, they're about to call the police on you. You know why? They know sincerity. Your kids know sincerity, and I'm going to tell you what else knows sincerity. The lost world knows sincerity. They know whether we really believe what we say we believe. And he just comes along and says, hey, listen, just be real. Don't fake it. We don't have to come in here and act like we got it all together. We don't have to go out there and act like we got it all together. As Bill reminded us, we just know where our hope is. We're grace people. We've been saved by grace. We've been gifted by grace. I'm sustained by grace. I don't have to put up any other front. You're a hot mess. You got a home here because we love messes. We love messes. And so that's what we need to go out there. We're not here, we ain't got it all together. But the problem is when a bunch of us get together and we got it all together and we look out there and we don't say this, but we think it. Now, when you get it together, you can come in here. You say, oh, people don't think that. Because we get uncomfortable with the mess. I invite you, and this church family invites you, to bring your mess up in here. You'll feel at home. Because this is a home for addicts. This is a home for cheaters. This is a home for sinners. This is a home for people whose kids already figured out who you really are and you hadn't admitted it yet. And guess what? We do know the God of hope who changes things and then sends us back out as real people, grace-filled people, to reflect who he is, a God of hope, a God of change. And so he simply says, when you have this spiritual gift, listen, use it with humility. Be sincere with it. And then I love this one in verse 11. Just keep on going down. He says this, I love this. He says, never be lacking in zeal. Hey, when's the last time you used word zeal in a statement or a sentence? Never be lacking. I challenge you this week to use the word zeal. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That word lacking means to hesitate to engage in something. He's talking about the opportunities that he gives you to serve him for his glory. He says, never be lacking in zeal. The word zeal means, and a lot of you got a lot of zeal. You just didn't know it. It means intense effort. It means hurriedly to be in haste. Some of you are going, that's me, right? I got zeal. He says, never be lacking in zeal to do something hurriedly. Because here's what he's thinking of, is that we've been given this special ability to serve God for the glory of others, and God gives us those opportunities. Sometimes we're slow to act. We're hesitate to engage. One day. You know, it's a lot of times Christians and churches are like, they're like barges. You ever seen a barge turn around? And everybody talks about, you know, as a leader of a church for the last several decades, people say, Jeff, we got to take it slow. If you like to take it slow, this may be the wrong place for you. I think when God gives us opportunities, we need to be speedboat available. Speedboat available. Not go, hey, let's get together and talk about it. When God brings something before you and you know it's from him and he's gifted you to step out there, what he's basically going, don't be lacking in zeal. Don't be slow to act. Don't be slow to be an intense effort. It's a warning. It's also for those of us that are doing ministry, and that's every believer. It's a warning against that attitude to get by with as little as possible. It's that attitude, and listen, we're going to have an honest moment, that I see, especially in the ministry, that whatever I offer ought to be good enough. It's a warning against the attitude that says, I'm going to get by with as little work and as little inconvenience as possible. He says, never be lacking in zeal. And then he says this, keep your spiritual fervor. The word fervor, I love this, it means to boil or to burn. In other words, what are you boiling about today? What are you burning about today? It's a picture of a person. Now think about it. He's talking about us. That's so enthusiastic about their task that they can hardly contain their excitement. And you just have to have an honest moment and go, does that picture me in my service to God? I've told you guys before, I've got a number of great nieces and nephews. I've got a lot of nieces and nephews, a lot of great nieces and nephews. And I live through them. I mean, I'm obsessed with them. And just the cycle of life. And they're little people, and they're young, and I just love it. One of them is my great nephew Harmon, and we call him Slug. And I'm not real sure why we call him Slug, but we've called him Slug since he was born. He's 4 years old, and Slug is absolutely obsessed with baseball. I mean, and I'm gonna tell you what, he's good. Yeah, there he is. That's Slug. So he loves baseball. His father was a great college player. His granddad, my brother-in-law, was a great baseball player. I'm telling you, the dude can play. I'm around athletes, and he has the it factor at four, you can tell. And so he's finally getting to play T-ball. They got a 3- and 4-year-old league, and he's getting to play. And so at Christmas, he was inviting people to his games. He didn't know when the games were. He just knew they were in April. And he'd walk up and say, I invite you to my baseball game in April. And he's been inviting everybody at his church. And so they started a couple weeks ago. So I've been talking to his dad, Hunter, and his mom, Dottie. And so I was like, hey, give me some updates. And I've written practice updates and game updates. And so the first two games got rained out. It's tragic. And so... Anyway, so this week, last week got to have his first game, and so I'm texting his dad. I said, hey, I need an update on the games. I'm going to need some videos tonight. And he sends me this picture. He says, this is him. It's 2 hours before the first pitch. He's got his backpack on. Now, you have to understand, this is a kid that comes home from his weekday every day, puts that on, goes in the backyard, plays the national anthem first, and then plays a hype song as he walks up to hit off the tee. That is what it looks like to never be lacking in zeal and to maintain your spiritual fervor. Slug boils for baseball. He's burning hot for baseball. And I hope I'm around long enough to cheer him on. And so you look at him and go, am I burning that way for the opportunities God gives me? Because he says, never be lacking in zeal, but maintain your spiritual fervor. For what does he say? For serving the Lord. For serving the Lord. And so you just have to kind of have a self moment and go, is that me? Is that where I'm at? Do I have that kind of passion each day? I was at Costco Thursday night buying things I didn't need in large quantities. Because, you know, you go there, you see things you didn't know you need until you saw them. And so I'm checking out, and I hear this lady say, let me see that smile. I'm going, who are you talking to? And she's looking straight at me. I was like, hey. So I get up there and I said, "Well, how are you doing today, honey?" And anytime any conversation starts with honey, you know it's about to be good. "Honey, it's a good day because the Lord caused the sun to rise this morning and he got me out of bed." I was like, "Oh, Job 38:12. I love that. I quoted 38:12, and she looked at me. I said, "That's one of my favorite verses. The Lord caused the sun to rise in the east." She said, "Let me tell you one of my favorite verses." And boy, she started rattling them off. I mean, one after the other. And I was like, "Amen. Good. That's good. Good. Did you get my grapes?" I mean, just one after the other. The guy behind us was amused and uncomfortable at the same time. And so she's just rattling them off. And then "You just keep on preaching." "Oh, hon, I'm not preaching. I'm just sharing his word like he's called us to do." I said, "Okay." And I said, "Well, you just keep on being a light then." And I got my stuff. And she turned around. The guy had been watching all this take place because it was kind of loud. She says to him, "He told me to keep preaching. But I'm not preaching. I'm just sharing God's word like he wants all of us to do." And looking in his eye, I was like, "Okay." Well, I knew when I turned around that guy recognized me. I recognized him, but I knew who he was, but he recognized me. And then he said this, as she's going, I'm not preaching, I'm just sharing God's word. He goes, "You don't know this, but he is a preacher." And the look on her face as I went in and just took off. But I walked to my car and I thought, I want to be the Costco lady. I want to burn. I want to bubble up with his word, with his mission, with his purpose. We know our purpose. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he's gifted you to serve others, to glorify him. And now we know how, with humility and sincerity and passion. And so your challenge is to go out there and bubble up. Let's pray together.